I was left unsupervised.
Hold on, let me get a clear shirt of my shirt.
What does it say, people?
In my defense, I was left unsupervised.
To going into those shadows, it makes it difficult to see. But what it also does is, like, you probably don't think about it, but it holds that moisture in the dirt. So you're coming into like a dry, slippery section. All of a sudden, this part in the shadows is like wet and slippery. There's your Team USA team.
Shut up!
What's up, guys? You know who it is. We back. It's the Rewind Show. It's your boy, James Stewart. And we here at round 8 from Washougal, Washington. Upstate, way over there. I think it's halfway to Canada. Actually, a lot closer to halfway, almost to Alaska. But we up here in Washougal, and it's a whole different area, whole different time zone. And we might have a whole different winter, but we're going to get into that. So round 8, Washougal, Washington. Let's get into it. So this weekend here at Washougal, I felt this was going to be a big, I wouldn't say turning point, but I felt like the results might end up the way they did, where Chase was going to ride really good. I mean, it's technically been Eli and Chase for the last like 5-6 races. They've been 1 and 2 for a while now. But how Chase rode last weekend and the way this track is set up and how smooth it is, Washougal is a real, like, it's a genuine, like, slippery track. Like, I know last weekend at Millville, I say it's slippery, but it has some bank, you know, some sand to it. This track is just slippery, and it's always, from years past, it's always done well on the technical riders. You know, Kevin Windham, anytime Ricky, I think, ever really got beat outdoors was by Kevin Windham. There was only at two places. It was at Unadilla and this track right here. Ryan Dungy has won a lot of races here. Ryan Villopoto, which was on the TV broadcast, he's always struggled here. I think he maybe won once, maybe twice here. And it's just the way the track is. It's one of those tracks that you can't override to go fast. I'll explain how that whole thing operates and how that works and how you see different guys and making up time but not being able to pull away. There's a mystery to that I'll try to solve it for you. So we'll get into that in a little bit. But overall, Washougal's been a real technical first, real smooth on the throttle track. And so with Chase Sexton, the way he rides compared to Eli, you kind of would say this track favors Chase, right? Well, this track was really smooth this weekend, and so that makes it even more slippery because it was smooth. The weather was kind of overcast, so it didn't get really dried out. And Washougal, not only being smooth and slippery, it's also kind of one-lined too. So starts are very important on this thing. So I think overall, it set up for some good racing, and it also set up for two guys to do what they did and how close they were to each other. They really never had a battle, you know, like a back and forth. You know, me and Ricky in 2006, we hitting each other, going off the track. They passed each other, but the track, the way it was, you can override it really easy. So unless it was good racing and Chase ended up getting done, I think Eli was in a position where he wanted to win. But at the end of the day, like, it's no harm, no foul. They come out with even points. But I think that just puts a little bit more pressure on the next race in Unadilla of what happens there. So with this track, as I'm talking about how it's really slippery, and the one thing with this track, and the roost hurts. It's the worst roost of the year. I mean, it's worse than Unadilla. When you go to Unadilla, you got rocks, you got things flying, you know, a pole. You know, I've seen all kind of things up at Unadilla. This track, it's not really rocky, and it's not like there's a lot of loose soil, but the soil it is, it's compact, and it hurts. What I mean, it hurts people, it's the worst one of the year. And so one thing, when you see guys racing each other, you might notice two things. You'll either see a guy just drop back a little bit, you know, maybe, you know, 7-8 bite lengths, or you'll see a guy that's right on somebody's fender. And if they're right on their fender, like, if you get really close to somebody, all riders know, you can almost avoid the roost if you get really close to somebody, which sounds odd. You think closer, you get roosted more. But it's shooting up, you can kind of go underneath it or, you know, above it, whatever it is, or you have to drop back. So when you watch these two guys racing, you can see that, distance, either it'll be right there or they'll pull back, and it's the roost. And Washougal is another track that you have to plan your passes. And what I mean by that, you have to start setting up like three or four corners before you actually make the pass. And that's another reason why you'll see guys like close up on it. They'll kind of drop back a little bit and then they'll close back on it. And so the easiest place to pass on this track is right before the finish line, you know, going on the inside of those whoops. And in the 250 class, 450 class, it's one of those things that the outside is the fastest, the race line. So you have to lead it inside open. But when you lead inside open, when you get closer to finish, the guy's going to make a pass. Now, where it gets tricky at is if the guy wants to be aggressive and close you completely off. And I think the thing as you're reading the other guy and what they're going to do is when you go on the outside, a guy dive bombs you on the inside before the finish line in those whoops. He has to decide whether he's going to go out like and block you off. And if you're committed to jumping in that, or you're thinking that he's going to come back and cut back so you can jump into it. So I think that's why when you see guys going in there, you can see a little hesitation if they're not super close on there where they know they can close it off. Because I know I've been in that position where you're like, is he going to go? And your pass is dictated on what this guy's going to do and what he's thinking the same thing. So if a guy was close, what you would see is a guy actually just like make that pass and he'd be really aggressive, or you'll see a guy that goes in between. He'll go in the middle. And the reason the guy go in the middle, not to the outside, not to the inside, is because he wants to make sure that he knows that guy ain't going to jump on him and commit to it. So that's why you saw a couple guys go in there and they'll end up jumping off the track because they wasn't sure what the other guy was going to do. So that was a good place to pass. And besides that, like, that's really the only real spot to pass on this track where it's like, look, this is a for sure passing spot. And so what you saw was a guy that would back off, and if he knew he could close down on these guys, like Eli, if he knew he can close down on Chase, which they both could, but they couldn't pull away, what you'll see, he'll back off on half the track. And then when they start getting closer to that section, Eli come back up on him, and it was doing that to make a pass. That being said, you don't want to show that too early because that is really the only place that you can pass. I mean, there is other spots if a guy makes a mistake or whatnot, but that really is the only place that's like a guaranteed pass. So you don't want to show that line too early so the guy just does it back to you. So Washougal is more about, it's more of a track of a, I would say chess, not checkers, where other tracks you can make passes by going just faster. This track, you have to be real smooth, calculated. And since it's one lined it, since the starts and since the roost hurts, you really got to, this is a track where it's a thinking man's track and you have to be real calculated on the whole part of the track to be able to make your moves. And I think that's what you saw in the 250 class, second moto with Justin Cooper, just pulling away from him. And if you look in the 450 class, that's why you also saw guys, you know, be able to catch somebody, but not be able to pull away. And with this track is everybody just kind of bear with me. I'm gonna try to explain this the best way I can because it's a little difficult. So when you watch these two guys, you know, you got Eli and Chase, what you see is a guy, maybe like the guy in second place, maybe he'd be a half second faster. And let's say he's, you know, 5-6 seconds back. If that guy makes up a lot of time on somebody, it's not because he all of a sudden goes, you know, full second, like beast mode on him. What he ended up doing is, you know, he continues his pace. And the way this track is, it's really easy to override it. And that's why it's hard to make up time and make like a speed separation, you know, to make somebody like, okay, I'm just going to turn it up a notch. So what the guy ended up doing, he ends up, you know, running his pace and the guy up front starts worrying about, okay, this guy's catching me, and he starts overriding it. So he starts making mistakes. So he drops back a half second or a full second. And that's where you see that difference is. It's not because the guy in second all of a sudden went faster. It's because the guy up front starts running his pace and starts making mistakes and he starts overriding it. Because when you watch these two guys, it always looks like the guy up front is slow, right? Like when you watch Eli and Chase, when Eli got up front, Chase can run up on him, you know, and vice versa. The guy in second can just come up on him. And if you pay attention to it, the guy up front is making the mistakes. And when Chase didn't make the mistakes or Eli didn't make the mistakes, that would be the only place that you can actually see a speed separation. And if it's Chase is a half a second or Eli's a half a second, if they both don't make the mistakes, that would be your gap. But with Washougal, you're leaving the corners open. The guy in second can break you, outbreak you. So it's easier to ride in second, even though it's not easy to ride in second because the roost hurts. So what you end up seeing is more the guy in second is dictating the race, or even the guy in first is dictating because he's making mistakes and going back, back and forth. So that's your speed gap. It's not a time difference. It's more chess, not checkers, and just being able to focus on what you're doing, not overriding the track, and making sure you don't make a mistake for the guy in second to catch up, because he literally can't catch you that quickly if you don't make a mistake. So watching those two guys, when they get close to each other, it's because one guy made a mistake. That's it. You know, it's not like the other guy was faster or whatnot. It was just making mistakes and trying to focus on your own self. So sorry, tried to explain that the best way I can. Maybe I didn't, but just pay attention to when you watch the race. And if you rewatch it, look at that now. With Washougal, the roost, and then they always talk about the shadows. You know, the shadows in the track, everybody knows it's slippery. So if you're a technical guy like Chase, and not to say Eli isn't, you know, but I think certain guys look forward to coming to this track because they know it's one of those tracks that, like, you can take a faster guy, a guy that's been dominant all year, and kind of tame him down a little bit. I always felt like when I raced Ricky, like, you know, with this race, he couldn't do the Southwick to me. Like, he couldn't just be way faster. You know, the track wouldn't allow it. So, you know, with this, Chase probably had a sense of, like, okay, it somewhat tames the beast mode on Eli. And like I said, with, you know, Villopoto and Dungy back in the day, Kevin Windham, RC, you know, maybe RC or RV was faster than both those guys. But when they got here, just kind of the track tamed that down a little bit. So coming to this track, you know that. So you know you have a good chance. And hopefully it's up in the, you know, Northwest, a little bit cooler, pretty views, Christmas trees, fans are awesome. So you look forward to coming there. But you also have to know the shadows. The shadows do play a big part in this track, and especially the second moto, when that sun's above and those shadows get really dark, it does make a difference. And the only place that it really comes in effect is right before the finish line. And it does two things. One, when you're going from super, you know, it's really light to going into those shadows, it makes it difficult to see. But what it also does is, like, you probably don't think about it, but it holds that moisture in the dirt. So you're coming into, like, a dry, slippery section. All of a sudden, this part in the shadows is, like, wet and slippery. That corner right before the two corners before the finish line, right before you get in those whoops, that corner, if you look at it, it's kind of muddy. It's always been that way. It's either maybe not necessarily muddy, but it's slippery. It usually holds water the whole moto, and it's because it's sitting in there. So the guy's watering the track, it runs down into those ruts, and then it just stays wet the whole time. So not only do you have to worry about vision, you also have to worry about that part of the track being more slippery than any other part. So this track makes it difficult. There's a lot of things going on this track besides just you racing the other guys. So that's what made Washougal special. That's why you either got guys that love it or guys that are like, man, I hate even coming up here. But it's definitely a cool track on the circuit. Especially with the fans, they're really close to you more than other tracks. So it definitely feels more like an arena type of track, more supercross style than most ones. And it's a cool feeling to be a part of it. So as I was saying, when you look at Chase and Eli, you know, the guy up front making mistakes, and that kind of dictates if they're running the same pace, they kind of stay the same or a little gap. But usually the guy up front's kind of worrying about what's on the back. And if this guy makes a mistake, and another little tidbit, a lot of the mistakes come from right before the finish line. Why? It's because that section, like as I was just explaining a minute ago, going outside, the guy can come on an inside. You know, in the back of your head, if a guy's like close to you halfway around the track, you start thinking about what you're going to do in that corner. So if you start looking at the track, Eli and Chase made a lot of little mistakes. You know, right over that when they hit the tabletop and they hit that horseshoe and they jump back right before they go into that shadow section, they start making mistakes like right in that area. And, you know, they're doing that to, one, try to get a gauge on how close Eli or one of the guys is behind him, whether he's going to dive bomb you on the inside. Because, again, the faster line is to go outside. And if you go inside, that guy goes outside, you try to get on the gas, you'll slide out, and the guy actually might have a chance to pass you down the whoops or be close. So you see a lot of mistakes made right there, and it's just whether that guy's, like, you know, thinking, all right, is he gonna go inside or not? So that's definitely another thing. And again, it's like playing chess, not checkers, and trying to dictate, you know, what's going on and you know, planning your moves and trying to protect them. So,
and there it is, Tomac to the inside. He's
great
got the
pass.
Lead.
Great pass.
First moto, Eli makes a pass on Chase. You think it's over. I started thinking it was over. I recorded a race to fast forward it because I'm like, all right, Eli got in the lead. You know, we do what most of us do. You start just looking at the clock and be like, okay, that gap's there, 0.6, 1.22. And just make sure those names don't flip to get to the second moto. It's 4 hours of this thing, man. Ain't nobody got time for that.
Ain't nobody got time for that.
So I'm sitting there watching this thing. So once Eli got in first, history would say he don't really give up the leads. And the next thing you know, I'm like, is this Chad Reed James Stewart 2002 Troy, Ohio? Is it?
I thought it'd be Chad Reed's kind of track, but obviously no one told Bubba.
Well, the thing about the track for him is he just loves to ride motorcycles.
And then, yeah, he fell over. And when I mean he fell over, he didn't wash the front end. I mean, he didn't like, you know, hit a rock like I did and I blew my ACL out. Nah, dude, he like fell over. And I'm thinking right here, like, I think he must have been in neutral or something. Neutral, because I don't even think you can stall it at that point. I mean, he's going too fast to stall it, but that's a neutral. Probably going in between, you know, second and first, or I don't know. But he just falls over. Chase runs in the back of him. You know, Chase is staring straight down his fender. And the washer is, you know, again, when you say one line, there you go, right? That's the one line of section. But, you know, if to Chase's defense, that it's kind of going downhill in a rut, in the momentum up. And if you really, even if the guy he was looking like, he wouldn't really be able to pass him, it was just awkward to watch them both pick up their bike. And then Chase stalled it, or he couldn't get his bike started. Eli's like dropped his. He was like, dude, I don't know what happened. I can't believe I just fell. And they're just sitting there, lappers going like, dude, TV time, TV. I'm about to get passed again. It's like NASCAR. It's going to get the yellow pass, a free pass, and he gets passed back. And then they start going ham again, like nothing ever happened. Jason Anderson in third, like, dude, what happened? Like, what happened? I shot somebody or what? Like, I don't know. He didn't even know what hell went on because he was like 50,000 seconds back. And then so like it, all that stuff happened, but nothing happened. So I just kept fast forwarding to the end. And then Eli won. So that was it. So we went through all that stuff. And just like that path, that crash, it was pretty much like a waste of time. Because then ain't nothing really happened besides two guys picking up the bike and just sitting there hanging out. Laffer's getting free pass. Jason Anderson, don't know what happened, whatever. And you just get to the end. Eli wins, and that was it. So, yeah, Justin Barcia, Kristen Craig, the battle of the MX2 class, possibly to be that third rider on Team USA. That's what they were battling for. I don't know. I mean, I think Mr. Coffee passed them both, didn't he? He was in front of them. I think he beat him, right, RD? RD Coffee, unfortunate bike failed you this weekend. You know the one thing? I got to give the guys KTM. Jade, RD, Roger Coster, all you guys. Ian, good job. The bike looks better. Looks taller. Dude was actually pulling a holy. I mean, I know you pulled one at, you know, the other track. But this was like, it looked like a speed bike. Your boy, Ryan Dungey, looked like he, you know, like he was potential this weekend. You know, that's the mindset, people. Like, you know, he knew he was coming to this track. Like, if this is the only chance I'm going to win and make JS pick right and not look really retarded like it does right now, this is going to be the weekend that he comes back with the resurrection. Like, you know, Prince comes back. It's the reunion tour, the tribute, like, and the bike went down. But nonetheless, man, he looked good. And I think a part of it was, you know, the second motor got a bad start, came up past all these fools besides the other three fools. He rode really good. In the first moto, he was actually right on Chase. I was really curious to see what happens because we was going to see if the RD, the champion, 6 years ago, whatever, how long it goes, 5 long years ago, whether he was going to make room and what that was going to do between Eli and Chase. But, you know, boom! Or maybe it didn't even go boom. It was like, I don't know. But I've seen that too many times with that bike. But it was a better improvement. So, as a rider, that's the best way to go out. That's the best way to go out because you're like, look, I was right there. I was right there. I was going to win. Like, I was right there. And history would say he's won this thing like 8 times out of 12. Yeah, I mean, and he was catching with Chase. He was like, team, don't think about any of these other 20 races or whatever before. I was going to win this last one. So it's your fault. And that's it. So you're going to end up on Stewed today. because you let me down. That's the best way as a rider. That's the best way to go out. Cause you were like, I would have got it done. No one in the back here. I ain't have no chance, man. I ain't have no chance. Hey, TV looked like you did. And then you was putting on the side of the track. So it was all good though. KTM, good job. Bike looked better. You know, you come here for technical advisories. You know what I mean? Like you can only get this at one spot and that's right here. So you want to know why he crashed? Because it's Barcia. He just fell. Nah, he was trying to get that MX2 spot. Christian was all over him, putting all that pressure. And like I said, you can't override the track. But to Barcia's defense, there is like a weird wall jump right here, or a wall rod. So why'd he crash? Because his front end washed out on there. Like there's a little knoll. You can tell he tries to dive to the inside. You can see all that little loose stuff. And then it goes straight hard packed and loose again. And I don't know if he was just trying to stay off the top, but it basically just lost the front end right there. So he crashed because that is an odd part of the track. It's the driest part of the track. And he just makes a mistake and washes out. Kind of like Chase last weekend. That's just a racing mistake. It's not real technical. Like he did something wrong, even though he did something wrong to fall. And, you know, he fell. But I think the bigger thing is they were battling because that MX2 spot, they're trying to drop down from the 450, 250 class for the Motocross Nation. And if you want to hear my opinion, nobody does, but I'm going to tell you anyway, I don't think it's that hard, people. I don't really think it's that hard. If I was Roger Coster, I would go to Justin Cooper and be like, look, bro, can you give me a top 10? One top 10, just one, because we got Eli and Chase. And I feel like they're both going to go 1 and 2. And if not, they go, you know, they'll be top 3, top 5, the awards. Justin Cooper, we're going to throw out one of your motos for sure. You know, you're a good starter, right? And if I'm going between you, Christian Craig, and Justin Barcia on starts, I'm going with you. Why? Because it's we at home. I'm going to put you on the inside. I'm not going to throw you on the outside because we just need one of your finishes. Maybe second motor, we'll throw you on the outside. Can you go 2 30-minute motos? Actually, I just need one. Can you go 2 30-minute motos, but one good one, right? Can you do that? Yes, sir. All right. You're on the team. I wouldn't have no 450 guy drop back down 250 because you don't need it. If you're going to Europe, I can understand the play. But we're here in the USA, and I feel like if we're going to win, it's going to be because, you know, Chase Sexton, Eli Tomac, they're going to go 1-1-1 in their classes. Justin Cooper's going to give you a top 10, one. Second one, you're going to throw away, and we're going to be the Motocross Nations champion again because we're here at Redbud. That's it. So making all this fuss about all that, even though those two guys are worthy to picks, but I would just go to Justin Cooper and ask him, can you give me one 30-minute moto? That's it. That's it. We're going to get you in the best position, put you on the inside of Redbud start. Can you do that, son? And he's going to be like, yeah, because I actually think Justin Cooper can win. He just clearly won this weekend, even though I know we're in a different spot. He didn't do as well at Redbud. I don't know, but he's getting better. And we got a few more weeks, so I think he'll be better. Can he get top 5? Yeah, he should. On a good day, he can win. So-so day, top 5 in that class. So why are we making all this fuss, people? Just pick Justin. Can you give me one 30-minute moto, son? We'll throw the other one away. Yes, James. Yes. You're hired. That's it. Don't worry about putting these other the big boy class. Don't chiz move. Don't be pulling chizzes. Don't all of a sudden go from 450 back to 250. It can work. I understand, but we're here in the USA, and today it's at Redbud. I think we'll be fine. We'll be fine. Just like Cooper. Can you give me one 30-minute moto, son? That's it. Sorry, Cole. That was my opinion.
Why would you be sorry?
I ain't sorry. You just saw the guy fall. So what are you talking about? They're battling in like what? What place they in?
9th, 10th.
9th and 10th in the 450 class. So they're 9th and 10th in the 450 class. So what the hell are we talking about? It's not like he's 3rd and 4th and they're like 3rd and 4th best guy. The other guy, he's getting his back surgery, so he's out. Don't underestimate on Mr. Cooper. And I think he'd be wearing that USA proud, son. And it's Redbud. That's the whole ticket right there. I actually think Chiz can get it done if you want him to. For reals. I ain't lying. I ain't lying. Just put Justin on there and you'll be fine. Can you give me one 30-minute moto, son? And we'll throw the second one away. Because if Eli and Chase screw up and you need their moto, you're going to lose anyway. You're going to lose anyway. So I think the fact is we have the two best guys because we're here in the USA right now. We have the two best guys. And I believe they'll win their class. So we just need one 30-minute moto, son, and you can handle that. I got faith in you, Justin. There's your Team USA team. Shut up! My opinion, and that's just my opinion, Eli has to win next two races. Otherwise, it's going to be a toss-up. Chase obviously rides really well at Paula. Ironman, he rides really well. I mean, not to say Eli doesn't, but Chase won there this year. And years past, Chase has been good at Ironman. It could rain up there, so who knows? And I think Eli's good there too, so that could be a toss-up. But I know those two tracks are, I wouldn't want to go up against the guy's favorite tracks, maybe those two. So I think next weekend, Unadilla and then Bud's Creek are going to tell the stories on who wins this championship. And if Eli's going to win, not to say even if he does lose him, he can't win, because I think something about being in pressure and never being done before, Chase is going to, he's going to get there. And he's really going to get there, whether he's got a red plate or he's a few points back. So that's another determining factor. But if we're going straight up, they're going to go 1-2 the next 6-8 motos or whatever, and they ride the same, then that means Eli needs to win these next two races, get a points lead, because he's going to lose Paula for sure. That's 6 points. And then possibly the other one. So you just start adding that up. That's why we sit here, we watch the races. You come here on Tuesday to find out. You watch it on Saturday, get the results. You come here to find out why things happen when they happen and why they happen. Because they happen because somebody does it better than everybody else. And we get it every single weekend. And it's been the same for a while now. In both classes, it just seems like you get the same people getting burnt. And Chase was tired of that. There was tired. I know I didn't wear a red shirt, but I wore a red bandana because I was like confused. Not my fault, people. Sometimes it ain't my fault. I've been left unsupervised. I was left a lot alone. But Chase Sexton, he was alone this weekend. And why was he alone? Because he was at the top. And why was he at the top? Because he was about to get something that he hasn't got since the first race of the year. And what that is, hit it for him, Cole.
Suntan, next on fire.
That boy was on fire. And you know, it's been burning. It's been burning. He thought he was close a few weeks ago. And he fell over like wet noodle. You didn't think it would take him. After winning round one, wanting like dominating, coming in round two, going 2-2, almost winning that, going to round three, winning one moto, falling over into like a wet noodle, another one. Like, actually, he didn't win that one. He got four, but he almost won it. You know, nonetheless, he thought he was going to win it, but you wouldn't think it would take from round one to round eight, all that in between. He wouldn't win another overall neck burn, but he got it today, and you could tell he was stoked. And I don't even think like it was like a big relief, because now he goes in 2 weeks. Now he goes to Loretta's. He can get that hair blonde. You know, he can get it whatever. He can get the nose worked on. Who knows what it is, people, but he's going to get it done because he got it done better than everybody else. And I'm going to hit it again for him, Cole, because he didn't get enough because he hasn't had it for a while. Hit it for him.
Suntan, next on fire.
Next on fire. Good job, Chase. It's been a while since you rode on the number one plate after that. And he was like, yeah. Where's the, I don't know. We ain't in Illinois, but we here. And I'm the victor. And Eli's like, oh, dude, whatever. Whatever, bruh. Whatever. Whatever. Just make sure Eli ain't smiling at you, because my story's four races left. Anything goes, bruh. And don't think just because Mr. Tomac don't toe smack you off the racetrack yet, I'll take out my own grandmother to win a race. So who do you think I would take out to win a title? And so with that being said, this boy might have to take out his own brother to win a title, Mr. Jet Lawrence. Yeah, I know Mr. Far East Coast, he's right there. And Mr. Shimoda is doing this thing. And then we have someone who's been missing for a while, Mr. Cooper. Not hello, Mr. Cooper, like the TV show, hanging with Mr. Cooper. Because nobody was hanging with that fool this weekend, that second motor. He was just gone. He just showed up. Like, it was like a movie that's been like a DVD that you just found. That it's been in the DVD the whole time, but I don't even know where it's going. Like, it's just there. That was Justin. Like, that didn't make any sense. The second moto didn't make any sense because he was just gone. goes back to what I was saying. Smooth track. The kid's good. That's why I say, like, I mean, I don't even know why the hell we even talking about bringing down somebody, you know, they're on the top floor, trying to bring it down to the fifth floor when you got somebody on the fifth floor with a TV bed and already got a reservation. Just keep him there, Motocross the Nations. But Justin Cooper, it's surprising as it was for him to win that race, it was not surprising at all because the kid's good, the kid's smooth, and he's damn, he's good. But like I said, I don't know if he was smiling, but Hunter's smiling. So Jet, watch out. You might have to take him out to win the race, win the championship. But, you know, Jet's still thinking about the 450 class. That kid's funny, man. He's like, he's saying some things that, like, if I was those guys, I would knock his ass down on there. Like, it makes me want to put on the boot. And I ain't got nothing against him. It takes me a lot to put on the boot. But he's eating donuts and kind of clowning y'all a little bit. Like, he's just basically saying he ain't worried about none of you fools. And I guess he shouldn't really be because, you know, he's better. And even though he ain't win no moto this weekend, he still won. How the hell does that matter? That's because he's better. And he thinks he's better and he talks better and more power to him because it's awesome to watch. It's awesome to watch. That dude's still thinking about 450s. He was thinking about it when he came out the womb. He probably picked Hunter's name and his name before he even knew his name was that. He picked Hunter's name before he was even conceived. Why? Because he thinks in the future. Before he was even born, he was thinking about Hunter. You know what? I'm going to make him Hunter because I'm going to be Jet because I'm going to jet past that hunt. You know, you can't hunt something that you can't see. That's how, in the future, that boy's thinking. Shit, he's probably thinking about his Hall of Fame speed. And by the way, yeah, I got it. Thank you very much, people. It's awesome. I know it went into it just weird, but thank you, AMA, all the people. And trust me, I don't want to do it right now, but there's going to be some tears. There's a lot of people that's helped me out through the ways. So I'm honored. Can't thank you enough. Kid from Haines City in Winter Haven, Florida, drinking gas at Dade City, making the Hall of Fame. It's freaking awesome. Dreams are real, people. Straight up. Thank you. So back to Jet taking out his brother in the future, future Hall of Famer. He's thinking about that. So he wrote good this weekend. I don't even think he really cares. Like, I don't even think he really cares about what he's doing. He's just on autopilot. He looks like he doesn't care. Because it's going to happen for him. It's going to happen because he just knows it's going to happen. So yeah, he's going to win and you guys going to lose and that's it. Even though he didn't win this weekend, he still won. Because he already predicted that that was going to happen.
He can have this one. I'll just try and just get these two breather laps and then try and get the start their code for the next moment. Hopefully we can get a better start and then go from there.
When I watched Jet and I listened to Jet, I'm somewhat kidding about like the future thinking of the Hall of Fame, but I'm not kidding at all because if you listen to the kid talk, he talks in the future. He does. And what I mean by talking future, he ain't talking about like next weekend. He's talking about 450s next year, whenever that is. But all kidding aside, you just listen to him talk. And what it tells me is that the kid understands where he's at and he understands who he's racing against. He understands his brother. He understands Shimoda. Cooper wins, whatever. And in his mind, he's like, okay, it took me all moto to get around Joe. So to try to chase Hunter down, whatever. Like, I'll just let him win this. I'll just get him the next moto, right? That's his thinking. When I watch him, just like I said in the past, it looks like he can just pass those guys. Like, he's somewhat playing with them. And I'm like, okay, is he just playing with Joe on there? So as you're watching Jet, what you're watching is a guy that's racing. He's racing to, you know, protect his points lead, but also being able to race to win, but also being in a way not to lose things and not to make those rookie mistakes or I guess to basically throw away a race. And why I say that is because if you watch the first moto, you know, watch the beginning part. What Hunter did dictated what Jet did. So he was battling with, you know, Jet. Jet was battling with Hunter in the beginning part of the race. And they had Joe Joe was leading. And then once Hunter got around Joe, you can see Jet start picking up the pace. And he was trying to get around Joe, but he couldn't. And that's where I was like, oh, is he kind of like, you know, what is he doing? And that goes back to the way Washougal is being one line that can't override it. It's hard to make passes and make up that much time. But in the beginning part of that, when he was just sitting on Hunter, you can tell Jet was just sitting back. At one point, he, you know, maybe he was like a second and a half back. He just kind of let him go, and he was just watching those two guys in front of him battle. And then I think overall, he sensed that the biggest fear that he would have, I guess the one guy he'd be worried about pulling away from would be his brother. So when Hunter made the move, then you can see Jet intensify. He picked up his pace. You know, just unfortunately, he couldn't get around Joe until it was too late. Joe was riding really good. And actually, Joe started riding better as the moto went on. But when I say he talks about it in the future and kind of understands, that's what I mean. And usually when you see that as a seasoned guy or guys in the 450, you know, watching a guy in front of him, the closest competition, and just moving on what they do, dictating their races off of what they do. That's why if you get a guy that's a good guy that you know is coming through a bad start, watch when he's in the back of the pack. If the guy's looking ahead, like let's say he's got people in front of him, but he looks across the track, that's a guy knowing where he's going and how he's going to get there. The people in front of him are just obstacles that you're going to jump over, move out the way, but they're not, you know, they're not roadblocks. They're not blockers. They're just things in a way to get where you're going. And so guys that come up to the back of the pack, you see them look into the future. And so when I hear Jet talk and I hear all this, that's what I see. I see a guy that's, you know, understanding how he's going to get to where he's going to go. He's getting there. He's just going to figure out on the fly how to get there and make, you know, other guys either they're going to throw it away or he'll just wait for them to make a move and then he'll do it. So he's reacting, even though he's making those guys react to what he's doing. And that just shows that the confidence of what he's got going on. So when he talks in the future and you hear him on his interviews, it makes sense because that's the way he rides. When he says he's thinking about the 450 class, he probably literally is because he rides that way. So I don't think he thought that Joe would be as strong as he did. And I don't think he figured that he would be able to close on. He would be able to pass Joe quicker and he would be able to close on Hunter. But Joe held him off because Joe wrote good and then Hunter was gone. But instead of trying to attack his brother, you know, you always want to beat brother just like teammate. He just decided that he'll recover and then get his ass in the next moto. And so to me, it's like he ain't really worried about y'all. You know, I mean, he's worried about y'all. Ain't no disrespect. But sometimes, you know, we all been there, top guys. You know, those are people that you raise. But you know what's going to happen. It's going to be happening on your time. It's going to be on your time. Just like when you can win an overall without winning a race. That's rare, people. Like, you got to be consistent. And the fact is, like, I would say, even though you didn't win a race and you won the overall, you were the best. And it's not like you got a bad start and you came from, like, last to second. Nah, you were just, like, top five and you just, how do you finish, like, you start top five? Move second. Some people crash, but you're the best guy and you look like the best. It wasn't like, damn, he got lucky. I mean, nah, I would just say he was the best. He just did it in a different way. And why you the best is because you always get these. You get these, son. You looking blacker than Tomac. I mean, Tomac didn't even get it this weekend. So you got it. And what you got is the same thing you've been getting. And you're gonna get it today. Hit it for him, Cole.
Suntan, next on fire.
It was on fire. It was so flaming hot that you never got a checkered flag to get it hot. But you won anyway. That's because you just win. You knew in the future, you're like, damn, I'm not even gonna win the race. I'm gonna win the race. That's what happened. And he did it. And he worried about y'all. He's still thinking about 450. He probably picked up Alex Martin in Seattle on the way up there. So that was it. We'll be right back, people, because you know what time it is. Stews and Stews. And I got a feeling that it's going to be somebody on this list that's hot and somebody that's not. We'll be right back. Stews and Stews. All right, people, you know what time it is. My favorite time, your favorite time, hell of all us favorite time, Stews and Stew. So we're going to get into it. We know where we start, baby. We got to start with the stew. That guy's a stew. What does that mean? That guy's a stew. That guy's dominant. That guy went 2-2 to win. How's that even work? That's 2 + 2 = 1 in this world. And there's only one person with a neck burn, and that's Jet Lawrence. So, of course, he's on this. He's a stew. Dominate. You can even, you don't even have to win, and you win. That's just future thinking. I get it now. That is the 450 mindset. That is the guy saying, yeah, I'm just letting him have it this weekend. Let him have it. I'm just take these two laps to start recovering, to think for the future, to get his ass the next moto. That's Mr. Jet Lawrence. So that's when you can go 2-2 and win, because you just keep winning and you can't help it. So Jet Lawrence, you a stew. And I almost said Eli Tomac. Why? Because, you know, it's just been automatic lately. The dude's been getting so burnt, he decided to take this weekend off. But it wasn't. So I was predicting the future when I said Chase Sexton last weekend, taking at least when Eli went in beast mode, that takes a stew to stop that beast mode. Well, this weekend you did one up. You got a neck burn, son. You took it to the champ. Well, he's not the champ now. The champ's actually sitting at home, but the champ's coming back. Mr. Fernandez coming back with that blue number one plate. That's going to be cool with the Predator, I think, next weekend. But that's next weekend or 2 weekends, wherever it is. Unadilla. But Chase Sexton, of course you're a stew. You know, you ran in the back of Eli. You know, like he fell over. You ran into him. I'm not even going to say you did it on purpose, because you didn't. So why would I even say you did it on purpose? Because you didn't. But it was funny because you guys were doing all that stuff. And like I said, it was all this stuff that was going on that didn't even matter. So why we even talk about it? They should have just cut the commercial when y'all was doing that, because it was a waste of time. But it was funny. And why was it funny? Because at the end of the day, you a stew, son. You're stew because you went all up in Eli. And then you gave him the business the second moto. And that takes a lot. That takes a lot to knock down the beast mode champion. So, Chase Sexton, you're a stew, even though you almost just scrubbed your ass on the ground right there at second moto with 2 laps to go. That was a little sketchy. I was asleep during this point, so I didn't see that, but I just saw right now. So, Chase Sexton, you're a stew because you took it to the champ. You took it to ET. You stopped that mode. He's been winning all of them, right? He even had me just automatically filling in. Like, I didn't even know. I didn't even know what color. I was colorblind when I threw on the shirt. I thought it was red. Now I remember it's like all these other colors now because Eli, I've been seeing blue. But it was red this weekend. And maybe Eli, maybe he should be stewed, but I don't think he is. I don't think he is him. It was like a num zero sum. What do you call it? Sum zero num, num, none. It was basically y'all tied. You got the neck burn and the bonus money, but he walked out of it in the day. And I think Eli knew it. I think he knew you gave him the business and he was like, I ain't have nothing for him. Daddy still owns the factory with the red plate. So nonetheless, Chase Sexton, you a stew. Jet Lawrence, you a stew because you didn't even win and you won. And both of y'all together, since it's the Honda day and it's been red and red, and I don't mean the Japanese flags because y'all came out just like the Australians came out from down under. Y'all went to the far west coast to get close to the far east coast where the fans came out to watch your boy. And y'all watched Jet Lawrence and Chase Sexton hit him with it cold.
Suntan, next on fire.
Neck was on fire. I saw them Australian flags. They came from down under to be above. Like I said, you had to fly from the east to the west to get to the far east coast. That's what they did, right? That's what they did. So it was cool to see. And everybody else, like Hunter won a moto, Cooper won a moto, Eli won a moto. But there was only 2 neck burns, and you know what? It was just raining red. So all y'all stew, everybody else, Washu crowd, y'all was out. Everybody was cool. All right, the next list, people. Stew. I don't even know who the hell is going to be on this list because I don't think anybody was stew. That means pissed off. Pissed off because you can't find nobody going in this list. Pissed off because somebody else is sick and tired and you're being sick and tired. I'm not putting that sick and tired of putting them on this list. So he ain't getting on this list. So he ain't stew. You can figure out what that means or not. Is Justin Barson? No, he ain't stewed. Why? He washed out. Did he MX2 his way out of the motocross nations on the ground? I don't know. Did Kristen Craig's MX2 his way in there? I don't know. Just go with Cooper, hanging with Mr. Cooper like the TV show. I used to watch it.
But of course, like everything else in life, it only lasts so long, and I don't see no replays of marathons. It ain't the Friends, it ain't a classic, but it'll get you through the weekend. And that's all you need, people. You just need a tent. You just need one moto. So where's that at? Some people might be stupid, but I don't got time to, like, I don't got time for that. We ain't got time. Why? Because the show is at the end of the road. And when it's at the end of the road, it's like that movie, that unpredictable movie that's so predictable at the end that you can't make a sequel. That's what this is, right? That's what this is. What does that mean? That means life is unpredictable, just like Stews and Stews. You just don't know where it's going to go. But at the end of the day, it makes sense and it's predictable. And that's where we at. And what's going to be predictable is me saying, I will see you guys next week, or actually 2 weeks, or whenever we show up, I'll see you when I see you. And that's what I said. Life is unpredictable. That is going to be predictable. I'll see you next weekend. And that was it from round 8 from Washougal, where they finally picked up Mr. Alex Martin from Seattle and brought him back, send him on his merry way, and where they finally stopped the blue train. In one class, Mr. Eli Tomac, the alien, maybe he's not. Maybe the sequel wasn't as good as it was. Maybe Chase Sexton with that blonde tip on his hair and that gear he had on. Maybe he's trying to stop it, but we got 2 weeks off to find out. I'll fill in with some other stuff. But we're going to have to watch and watch these next 4 races, because we got a lot of people coming back that's going to make this series unpredictable. But it's still going to be 2 guys that's going to be up there, which makes it predictable. That was it. Round 8, Lucas Oil Motocross. I know. I love you guys. See you next Tuesday at the same time, same place. Until then, stay predictable, future. Stay predictable. Wait. Bye.